Please do turn back in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. And the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And our theme this morning is a lovely theme, is mercy and love or freedom to captive souls. And I wonder how you feel about your situation before God this morning. I wonder if you're troubled by your sin and your disobedience, and it's causing you no small amount of distress. Well, God in his goodness and kindness has given us this beautiful verse for us to look at. It's found in the book of Isaiah. And the Isaiah means the Lord is salvation. He was a great prophet. He prophesied between 739 and 689 years before our Lord Jesus Christ was born. He prophesied during four kings, if you read your Bible, Kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and godly King Hezekiah. And the time of the children of Israel, or Judah then, is a time of terrible spiritual corruption. They've drifted further and further away from God, and their spiritual life had gone down so far, and they got mixed up with idolatry, and their way of worshipping God was just all on the outside. Their hearts were in a terrible place. And the Lord saw all of this, and they were treating each other in a shocking way, in a terrible way. And so God sent Isaiah to prophesy, to tell them to turn back to him. He sent them to warn them that there would be a great judgment would fall upon them, and they'd be carried away to another country, to Babylon. They'd be captives. But then God is so kind and goodness, he said, I will not forget my great covenant, my great promise with you, that one day I'll bring some back and I'll restore you. And this is what this is about. And there's a spiritual application to this, to us today, because in Luke 4, if you just turn there, and verses 18 and 19, we read these words. The Lord reads these words out, and then in verse 20, he says this, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. See, this verse is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've all disobeyed God. We've all done terrible things. We're all captive in one sense, as we'll see. And God, in his great mercy, has sent his Son to deliver us and rescue us. So I'd like to look under this text under five headings. Grace, awareness of sin, the pain of sin, the power of sin, and the deliverance of sin. And we see grace. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me in verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. You know, you and I, if someone repeatedly sins against us and does bad things, it doesn't take too long before we start to have some pretty dark thoughts, does it? And we start to get frustrated, and we express that frustration in certain ways. And if we're not walking close with the Lord, we can get into trouble. We've sinned against God literally, even as children, thousands of times. As adults like myself, millions of times. Millions and millions we've disobeyed God. And indeed, God is angry with us. But what grace that in his anger he's remembered mercy. in his anger, before the foundation of the world, he has made a way for us to be right with him. When we think about who God is, he holds our very being in his hands, our very atoms. For us to hear this message, for me to speak, for you to listen, it's all by God's strength. All things are upheld by him. We're utterly dependent upon him. And yet we've been so foolish and disobeyed him and rebelled against him. And God, in such mercy, has reached down, and we're going to see the effects of our condition in a minute, has reached down and he sent his son. He sent his son. God's ordained this message to be preached this morning in Ashford here to you. He's reaching out to sinners yet again all over the world today. And he's reaching out to you perhaps for the thousandth time with this wonderful message of salvation. How gracious God has been. The longer we live as Christians, we know more of God's long suffering, don't we, and his mercy. I wonder why he'd have anything to do with this. And we see with the Lord Jesus that he was fitted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he was sent because the Lord has anointed me. And John Calvin said that should be true of every preacher. God's Spirit should be upon him and he should be sent. It's not an office for a man to undertake himself just to decide who's going to do this. But he is the only way. The Lord has anointed me, anointed Christ. Now, what was his purpose? It's a purpose of great compassion. He's bringing good tidings. He's bringing good tidings to those that have bad news, though sometimes many people don't realise this today. Many people in Ashford listening to this, they would think, well, why do I need these good tidings? Life seems to be all right. Once the pandemic's finished, I can get back to life as I really like, but we'll see, we're in a terrible state. You see, just like Judah, when they're in captivity, would reflect and look back at what their land had once been, how beautiful it had been and prospered by God, so when we begin to wake up to our condition before God, our awareness of sin now we're looking at, we think, what's become of me? What sort of person am I? That I've sinned against God in thought and word and deed. I've broken all his commands. When you begin to be aware of that, to understand what it means, that who you've disobeyed, it's not like a little sign on the grass that says, don't walk on the grass, think, well, I'll do that anyway, and shortcut across it, because there's no real consequences. To think that we've disobeyed God. It's like a man, I was speaking to a man recently, and he'd got into debt. Someone had run up debt on his behalf. A lady he was with, they've now gone their separate ways. And unbeknown to him, she'd spent lots of money on his credit cards. He trusted her and they were in his name, but she had the PIN numbers and the things needed and run up great debt. He was unaware of it. But actually, the sad thing with us is we're very aware of our debt before God. He's given us a conscience, a little voice that speaks to us, that proclaims right and wrong. And every day, we either listen to that voice or we don't. And even our conscience is sinful. It's not aware of the things it should be. There was sacrifices in the Old Testament for the sins of omission, when they'd done things they didn't even realise were wrong. And we've broken God's commands in so many different ways. And when someone becomes aware of that, that is a terrible state, to be aware of that great debt before God. This huge debt, there's a parable about it. I preached on it a couple of years ago. And you're aware that there's no way you can ever repay this. How can I be right with God? And the Lord Jesus comes and says, I've got good news for you. If you're feeling that this morning, you're aware of your sin. He said, I can never repay that. I'm on a destiny to meet God. I'm on a one-way course. The sands of time are slowly sinking. They're going down and down. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to meet him. I've got this debt of millions of sins. What's to become of me? And God in his great mercy sends the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I bring you good news. There is a way for your debt to be repaid. Is that you this morning? Are you aware of this? Perhaps you're not aware of this, and please be aware of it. There is a day of judgment coming. Rangers, every single one of us will give a full account to the Lord for every thought, every word, every action, every one of us. And it's either dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will be paying for that ourselves for all eternity. But God brings good news this morning. There is a way for the debt to be paid. But then he says these lovely words in verse 1, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, the pain of sin. Brokenhearted. In the original it means those whose hearts have been burst. Their feelings are crushed. They're leaking out. There is one sense in a general sense because sin hurts so much. We don't realise, do we, the poison of sin? There's a text in Proverbs, I think it is, relating to drink, about how the wine, it glitters in the cup, it looks so alluring, so tempting. Perhaps some of us, before you knew the Lord, knew what it was like to be led astray by wine, but he said, at the last, it bites. And that's just one sin of drunkenness. But every sin's like that. Perhaps you felt the pain of sin because people have sinfully treated you. And your hearts are bursting inside. But what about the sins that we've committed? Just think when you were younger, or those that you are young, the first time you ever told a lie to get yourself out of trouble, and how guilty you felt. You thought, I've said that, it's not true. And the other person believed it. And it was so easy. And you felt troubled. But then you got hardened to it, and one lie led to another lie. You thought, this is my secret weapon. I can be a liar to get out of trouble. And God says no liars shall ever enter heaven. We think of some of the other sins. The sins of our eyes, the things we look at. The images that then are imprinted in our mind forever. The things we've heard. Spurgeon said, the power of sin that he could remember as a godly preacher, bawdy unclean rhymes he'd learnt when he was a teenager. And they were just in his mind for all this life anyway. And yet godly truth sometimes he struggled to remember. The pain of sin, it damages our mind, it damages our character. And we pursue a path and our flesh desire certain things. We say, I need this, I need that. The conscience says, you mustn't have it, it's wrong. I don't care, it'll make me happy. And it does for a short time. And then we need more of it, and more of it, and more of it. And we could end up in a terrible state. And you get people kind of begin to loathe themselves. And they can think there's no hope. No hope at all. Do you feel something of this? This is just the general effects of sin. This is why Christ went to those that the world said, oh, they're the sinners. The religious people said, they're the sinners. He went to say, look, I've come to all of you, but I'm coming to you. You think there's no hope, but there is another way. You don't have to live life dictated by the desires of your flesh and mind, because you're not living life for me. There is hope. There's another way. But then the truly brokenhearted is those that are aware of the pain of sin before God. Do you know, it's a terrible thing to be convicted of your sin before God. It's an essential part of every Christian's experience. It might be a small part when you're first converted, or it might be a great part. But when it hits home, when it really hits home, that you've sinned against God, and the guilt of that, that you've sinned against God, that you've disobeyed him, that he's good and kind and holy and just, and you look at his followers that truly are his followers, and before you're converted, you think, I'm nothing like them. I'm dirty. I'm unclean. I'm filthy. The wicked words that come out of my mouth, the evil thoughts that have gone through my mind. I can never get to heaven. I can never face God. The power, the guilt of it. And then the fear of the wrath of God. Now, and he's going to punish that. It breaks a man's heart. I really believe that if God showed myself and you, if he showed us what we're really like before him, it would kill us, or our mind would just be sent insane. If he showed us what we're really like and what he's really like, we couldn't cope with that. To be brokenhearted with sin is a necessary but a most painful condition if we're to be right with the Lord. Is that you this morning? Do you feel something of this? Are you seeking to be right with God? Is your heart aching with sin? Does this world seem just so pointless? Do you feel like there's no hope for you? Do you see the wretchedness of your condition? Well, the Lord Jesus here, we're told of him, he's been sent to heal people like you. Heal means to bind up all that pain, to bind it up once and for all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are in that boat, whether we realise it or not. People that deny it, they're like people that have a deadly disease and refuse to acknowledge the symptoms, are completely unaware of it. Christians, those that become Christians, God the Holy Spirit shows them their situation before him and their need of being right with him. And then we see something of the power of sin. He says, liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. Sin is awful. It's in our very nature. The psalmist said he was conceived in iniquity. We're born by our very nature, and you will know this, we're born not wanting to follow God. We're born wanting to do wrong things. We're born wanting to say wrong things. And this evil power that I say it has over us, there's no excuse. It corrupts our very fibre. And when you become aware of sin, when you become aware of the holiness of God, when you have a desire to try and do something about it, you can do what I tried to do, which is the wrong thing. You think, well, I've got to sort myself out. I've got to stop sinning. I've got to stop doing all the different things which you know are wrong. And you try and do that without Christ. It's impossible. And it leads to despair. You're there, you hear the word preached on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. You think, this is right, I must put this into practice. This is an unbeliever. And then you go and try and do it. You think, I can't. I can do it for so long. Well, you think you are, you're not really. And then it reaches down, this desire, and you give in to it. And the devil whispers, you'll never beat sin. Just accept it. I'm so glad I didn't listen to his voice. I was tempted to many a time. But I thought, what if God never speaks to me again? There's no hope for me. He has such power over us in our nature. Then the condemnation of it. This debt that can never be paid off. It says in Proverbs, isn't it? The borrower is servant to the lender. We've borrowed so deeply from God. And there it is. He said, but there's no hope. And then the sad thing is, there is the power of Satan in all of this. He's leading this rebellion against God, which is doomed to fail eventually. But we are his willing servants, whether we realise it or not, before we know Christ. We're in a terrible, terrible state. We see the effects of it all around us. We see it very obviously in people addicted to drugs and alcohol. That's a very vivid struggle, isn't it? And they try and come out of some of those situations. They find it very, very difficult. We see it in broken marriages. Husbands and wives just walked out on their promises and the devastation it caused and the guilt and shame they have to carry. We see it every time we turn on the television. It affects everything that's broadcast. When you pick up a newspaper, there's accounts of sin everywhere. When you read books, you've got sin in the books because the mentality and the philosophy, if it's not a Christian book. The people you go to work with, they're all sinners. It's not you go to work with people and they're not sinners. So the whole way things are conducted is in a sinful manner. And then you have the devil inciting us and enticing us to sin. It's a hopeless situation. You can't deliver yourself from your sin, from the power of it, from the condemnation of it, and you certainly can't deliver yourself from the kingdom of darkness and Satan. But there is one who can. The King of Kings. And he says a lovely thing. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives. That word liberty obviously means freedom, but I didn't realise when I looked at the original, it means a spontaneity of outflow, to remove rapidly. It's like a release. And I remember the night I was converted, that's what it felt like, a release. Some people it's a smaller, gradual thing. I was just taken from one kingdom to the other before I could even think. It just happened. And when the Lord proclaims it, it's proclaiming an individual and a personal level. It's not like me addressing you all now. God is addressing you individually to say, if you feel the damning nature of sin, the power of sin over your life, I've made a way for you to be delivered. Jesus Christ said, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you feel something of the power of sin in your life? And then we see the deliverance of sin and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Prison is a very apt name, isn't it? A dungeon, dark, damp, horrible. Can't get free of it. There it is in my words, my thoughts, my deeds. And this opening of the prison in the original could be a way of letting light in as well. And that's why when you read it in Luke, it says to give sight to the blind. There's also a reference there to Leviticus 25 verse 10 about the year of the Jubilee when the slaves were set free and the lands that had been taken back were all given back to their original owners, a sense of freedom. Now you say, well, how can I know all this deliverance from sin, from its power, from its condemnation? You have to cry out to Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord is saying to you this morning, no matter what your condition, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what situations you've got in your life, if you cry out to me, I will deliver you. Believe on me. Believe I can help you and I will help you. Cry out to me. It's not our faith that saves us. It's the one we have the faith in. Imagine if you did have a great debt and a man said, look, if ever you run into trouble, send me an email. It'll be settled instantly. And you sent the email and it was settled instantly. You wouldn't be speaking to everyone about, oh, the email I sent, oh, it was so lovely and I pressed it at the right time and it just, the way I phrased it and it got it and then my debt was paid. You'd say, no, I sent this message and this man, he got that message. Oh, the help he showed me. He wiped my debt clear. Do you know, the person, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, no matter what your situation, that cries out to Christ and says, Lord, save me, like the dying thief. Lord, remember me. He helps. You might think your situation is so complicated. You say, you don't understand the thoughts that have gone through my mind, the situation I'm in, I've tried and I'm just, it's hopeless. Not to Almighty God, it's not. He just wants you to cry out to him and he'll come. He'll deliver you. And when he brings that light into your mind, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and shows you what life is all about, and that you're God's creature, that you belong to him, that the meaning of life is to live for him, it's a wonderful feeling that it's not about your own ideas, your own philosophies, following your own heart, which will lead you into trouble. You must go to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I think these cries, they're very bold cries, aren't they? Hear about people that have been trapped in rubble and they're shouting loudly, help, or in fire, rescue me. But you know, sometimes the cry is so faint that we could hardly hear it. And I think I hear something. And so it is with the Lord. Some people who are so bowed down by sin They just faintly cry out to him and he hears them. It's a cry of faith, a small faith. And he reaches down and he gets hold of them from the kingdom of Satan. What is done when someone cries out to the Lord? All their debt before God is paid. All their sin is paid. You see, the Lord God sent his son for us to live the perfect life that we could never live. To live that life absolutely perfectly with everything he thought and said and did. And then he offered himself up as a sacrifice on the cross. And on that cross, God showed no mercy. He poured forth all of his anger, his terrible anger, his infinite anger, for all the wicked and wrong things that we've done if we'll come to him. And Christ took that and he said, it is finished. He said, the debt has been settled. It has been paid. The anger has been absorbed. So it's not coming to you if you will but come to me. And then he died. But then he rose again after 3 days. And that is so important because it showed that the sacrifice was accepted and they had defeated sin. It defeated Satan. That the new covenant now stood. So when someone comes to Christ, we think of some of these characteristics of sin. Being in great debt to God, Christ says, poor sinner, the debt is paid now. It's paid. You owe God nothing. Do you know that, Christian? Do you know that this morning? Do you really know that? Your debt is paid in full. Everything you'll ever do wrong in this life is paid for. When you're brokenhearted with your sin, Christ comes and says, oh, poor one, you're forgiven now. God loves you. You're adopted into the family of God. There's no need to be brokenhearted. You're forgiven. God loves you. That's not a trite saying. It's absolutely true. When you feel the power of sin, you're bound in it, fast in Satan's kingdom, you cry out to the Lord. He says, you're mine now. He reaches down, as in the parable of the man that binds a strong man. And Christ holds Satan back and says, I'm taking that one now. You can't have them anymore. And he does something wonderful. He says, I'll deliver you. I'll give you a new nature. I'll give you that heart you've wanted to serve me and to love me and to follow my commands. I'll give you a new nature. And God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within each believer. It's a great cost for us to be delivered from sin. Do you know him? Have you been delivered from sin this morning? This message, such as it is sent from God to you this morning, sinner. And God says to you, I offer you my full and free pardon and forgiveness and love and mercy. But it's to those that want it. It's to those that know their need of it. Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, those that are unaware of their sin, the hard-hearted that say, I don't need any gospel. But to those that are poor and humble and say, Lord, help me. This morning, he offers his forgiveness. Oh, go to Christ, my friends, this morning. It's an old message. It's the only message. It's the only one that will make a difference. You can't save yourself. Man can't save yourself. The best preachers in the world, the most godly preachers, the most lovely examples of ladies, they can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can. I leave you with these words from Mark 16 and verse 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. We say amen to that. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Don't stay in the prison house of God awaiting judgment. Listen to his kind and loving warning. look at the costly sacrifices made, that great provision of the Lord Jesus. Get right with the Lord. Poor troubled sinner, go to him. Go to the one who heals souls, who's done it for thousands of years since the beginning of time. And if you go to him in faith, trusting and believing, you'll find that precious remedy which you're looking for. Amen.